Hello, everybody, and welcome to the post show for episode number 17 of Roleplay Far Verona, aka the one where everything goes crazy. Max, I kind of had hoped today would be like a respite from the bananarama of yesterday's Court of Swords episode, but here we are. That last 15, 20 minutes was just like, oh, baby.
Yeah.
So, how's everybody doing? Bronze, can you talk a little bit about your motivations? I think I want to start by focusing on kind of like what we expect will come next for these characters, and then we can backtrack and talk about the episode proper.
Yeah. My motivations. So, like,
yeah, just talk about that a little bit. Like, what do you, as a player, what are you kind of like angling for? What are you thinking? Where's your head at?
As a player, part of me is like, this is where RPGs kind of suck, because they would have never barged into my room if they hadn't seen me clearly tell a Trilliant dude that I was leaving. Like, they wouldn't have had that foresight or that thought. And I was kind of banking on that. But things like that happen when you play RPGs where,
yeah,
you know,
things, yeah, just kinda... I mean, I think it's a trick too, because like, you did have that confrontation with Nomi, so there was like some heightened stuff.
Yeah,
like...
but they wouldn't have come into my room and like, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Can I say something real quick? Is that, yeah, I didn't realize that we were just like straight up barging in. I thought that when we did the thing on the keypad, that was like knocking in this universe.
Ah, yeah. I think Booker was
the door for them, right? Like, I wouldn't have let them in. I would have opened the door and I would have like talked to them at the door, as opposed to like, catch me in the middle of this.
I mean, I think that's an interesting escalation. It's an interesting escalation too, because Booker knew what pressing that button was. That was like, I'm gonna unlock the door. We're going inside.
Well, that's why.
But there was like no reason to do that.
Looked at. That's why he looked at.
They didn't do anything to warrant that.
Yeah, and I think Booker would.
That was the part that I was peeved at, as like Jasmine, not as the Amira, where I was like, well, yeah, of course, because that's like me saying like, oh yeah, well, I also knew that Nomi abandoned everyone to die on the roof, like, you know, like it was kind of one of those moments where there wasn't a lot for me to RP there, because there was no reason for them to barge into my room and they did.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm saying now, like, that wasn't intentional, and that, like, sorry that that's the way that it went. I didn't realize that that's kind of what was happening, because I thought that what we were doing was the way that was like, let's knock on this door. And then, like, I thought that it was like, there's an unlock button, and like, she didn't answer. So I just like was, I guess, my fault for kind of misunderstanding what we were doing. Mm-hmm. Because you're right, there wouldn't have been any reason for us to do that. And that definitely wasn't like kind of what I was trying to do.
Right. So, and that stuff happens, because ideally I would have played it off as like, open the door and been like, given the news that the chaplain was dead, and say that it was a long day and I wanted to go to bed, and would have succeeded with that. And then I would have left in the middle of the night, because now I'm in this awkward position where it's like, I as a player don't want to hurt Booker. I don't think I can. And I'm okay with losing this character, because that's why I made the choices I made, was with the knowledge that I would probably lose this character. Well, even if I will probably lose this character, because
this was the end of Amira's story one way or the other, because like, it's either you got away and left and we wouldn't see you again, and that's one epilogue, or the epilogue here is the like, you get arrested and sent back to Hyra and processed and what have you. Either way, the Amira becomes kind of like a background character, which I think that's really cool. I think that it's like, we have this thing as role players where we're like, this is my character, and the only thing that will wring this character from my cold dead hands is if they die. If they die in the game, you can't have them otherwise, and I will never quit. But I just think it's really cool to be like, no, and we were talking about this yesterday, Max, like to just be like, no, this, my character would leave. Like, I would be done with you people.
It's like Baldur's Gate, right? You can't keep everybody in the party happy. And when you do too many good things, the evil characters leave, and vice versa, right? So, like, even when I made the Amira, like, as a character, I knew that that was probably going to happen at some point. I didn't think it was going to happen so soon. A big part of that is, like, how she, as a Valen, views nobility. She views it as a responsibility, not a privilege. And I think I've kind of done a pretty good job of, like, sticking with that the entire way through. Like, she'll kill someone if they try to kill her, but she very much meets, like, lethal force with lethal force. But she's not about like killing people that are lying face down on the floor. That's where she draws the line, because she views the peasantry as like almost in some ways like that whole shepherd and flock analogy, where it's like, well, yeah, they're my property, so I have to feed them, clothe them, and care for them. And then that combined with like her being Sikh and me being Sikh, it just kind of like went hand in hand, where it would be like, you know, clear that guy wasn't going to kill you. He grabbed you. You're overreacting. And then like we still probably could have come back from that until Nomi said, who cares? There's so many of them. And at that point, when she pulled rank and said that, it was like, as a role player, the Amira would be like, fuck that. I'm not going to stay under like the tyrannical heel of a sociopath. So like,
so that conversation was so good because you were both exactly right. Like, it was a lawful evil character arguing with a lawful neutral character, and you're both bad guys. Like, you're both villains, mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, yeah. you're arguing about resource allocation, and one of you is like, mm-hmm. we'll just make more, and the other's like, no, we have to be careful with these property that we own. And it was so gratifying for me to just be like, yes, they both understand mm-hmm. the setting so well, and like the internal tension in that system. I was really happy with that, and I really like how it doesn't mean that you have to be like, I am quitting the empire and becoming a terrorist forever. It's just like, no, I think the way you do things is wrong. And you can both be right at the same time, while both being like, kind of from our perspective as like an audience, like bad guys. I think it's very, very cool. Yeah. 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 So I think that whole thing was quite cool. And yeah, like RPGs are a limited form. And we do this thing where you have to be in like different sort of stances as we play. And sometimes it's easy to just be like, I'll do whatever my character does. And other times you're like, well, this is a thing that I think I understand, but maybe my character doesn't. And like, having to balance that in the moment can be really, really challenging. And also like fairness, right? Like when, like trying to make sure that everybody gets a chance to have things go their way. And that's where the rules step in, right? Where they're like, cool. All right, well, you roll. Whoever rolls better gets what they want. But when there aren't rolls in place, when there's no mechanisms to create that, you just kind of have to like spitball it. You have to guess. And that can run into situations like we had today with the door. That isn't to say that we should avoid stuff like this. Like, I think this is a very cool thing. And, you know, we've talked before, Bronze, about like, your days are numbered. The Amira is going to be in trouble one way or another and become incompatible with the group eventually. So I think that this is fine. I think it's
even cool. If she had decided to stay on with like Crux, I think like eventually just the ethics of the group probably would have gotten in her way, because she's just like,
yeah, or she would have become so different that she would have been unrecognizable, right?
Yeah, she's really religious, and that's like been part of her character since like day one. And it's weird, like, because it's from one of my touchstones for that is like the caste system in India, like Sikhism was something that was invented, like, or not invented, but like it was created, and like part of it was abolishing the caste system. But then there's a lot of Sikhs who actively engage in the caste system. So I tried to step in those shoes, like my dad's shoes, and be like, well, how do you rationalize like believing in the caste system, but then also like being really religious? And so she takes on this role of like, well, I'm like a protector and a provider. And it's because I'm,
I mean,
like,
noblesse oblige is, it's a thing. Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, it was good. I think it's really interesting. I'm super curious to see what happens. I imagine you've been like pondering some additional character options. Do you have some ideas? You don't have to tell me.
I had I had that thought actually today. Okay. Not that I planned to do this today. Just that's how it happened. To
come. Just boiled up. Yeah.
But I was talking about a different, like, I was like, oh yeah, there was this character I was going to play when I started my Twitch channel, but then I decided I didn't want to be like a character streamer. Does that make sense? And I was describing that character and people were like, oh, that character would be fun in Far Verona. And I was like, haha, they would fit in Far Verona. And now I'm just kind of like, well, it's probably going to be, well, I mean, ponder crumbles.
Yeah. I mean, let me know what you're thinking for your character concept. We'll talk a little bit about fitting them into the universe. What'll likely happen is we'll see the stuff at the beginning of the next time, and we'll use the rest of the next episode to push on. And if it looks like we're going to clear up if it's like we're leaving Trilliant, Crux, send the army, you know, back up the planet and let's get these terrorists dealt with. Cool. If it's going to take a little longer than that, we'll find a way to get that character in to the group as an advisor or whatever. We'll do another time skip after this little mission is done. But So I wanted to talk to Anne about, the difference, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but the difference between your psychic ability that you had before and the one you have now seems like massive, jump between those two. Like, this one seems so much more useful.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm actually psychic now, as opposed to just like, you have a really good read on people, you know, from before. So now I actually feel like, okay, I read his thoughts. Tell me what he's thinking, you know? So I really appreciate that. So, I'm excited to do more leveling up of these psychic abilities. Cause like the jump for Oracle from level 0 to level 1 is 1 minute into the future to 1 day into the future. Like, it jumps a lot. Right. It's not like an hour. It's like an entire day.
All the other characters in the game kind of advance on this like normal arc. They just diagonal line. Psychics do this, right? Like, it's you go on this like slow thing in the beginning, and I was watching you struggle with this, and I'm so glad that you've toughed it out. But I watched you struggle, being like, my powers aren't that good. I have no fucking hit points. I have like next to no skills. I just keep losing. And today you got a taste of like, oh, I am becoming a god, right? Yeah. It takes time, but that power really, really builds up. And I like too that we had that moment of like forcing the, like, do you want a torch or not? Because I think that's a nice, when we played for Swan Song, torching was slightly less like intense in version 1 of the rules, but we torched all the time. He's just like, yeah, fuck it, I don't need stats. I just blow my stats all over the place. And he just all the time, was slow degrade for that character. So it's good that you're playing a little safer. They're a little scarier now. I'm really looking forward to...
It's also like, the more episodes we have with this character, the more I am afraid of her dying. It's like, so, the longer I keep her and the longer I like establish who she is and like through everything, it just, now I'm just like, well, I only have 7 HP. After that level up, I got 1 extra HP.
So. I'll tell you this. So if you level up your telepathy again, you will get reflex response, which is the first, like, you have to do this thing. So you put a sudden irrational impulse into a target and they have to make a mental saving throw, or they just do it. Or you can deal them 66 damage if they fail a save. So you fireball their brain with telepathic assault.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's just level 3.
That's level 3. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I go, level 2 is just read their thoughts. Level 3 is like melt their brain. Holy shit.
Yep. Yeah. And then level 4 is like edit up to 24 hours of memory, create, change, new events added, remove things, bind people into a shallow hive mind. So people just like act like you all roll initiative and you use whoever's initiative is the best one. You can have 5 minutes of conversation every round with someone without incurring any delays. Like, psychic powers there's a reason that people are scared of like high powered psychics in the setting, because as you're starting to see, you're getting scary, which is super cool. And I really enjoyed that, watching that happen. So that was cool. Max, buddy, I'm so sorry about how badly you rolled all day and how the dice made you look like a jackass. Your character, not you. It's not your fault, but I know that feeling where you're like, it would be so cool if I did this thing, and then you're like, nope, I didn't. I just fall on my face like an asshole.
Just to wind stuff back a little bit too, to speak my piece for Booker. Booker, when you gave him an option to, like, it pops up saying like, hey, you know, do you want to just unlock the door? That's why he looked at Nomi and was like, you're in charge. I mean, do you want me to do this? So I thought it was understood that we were, you know, that's what was going on. So that's how he got into that. He didn't necessarily want to do that or want to open through that, but I can totally understand from, you know, a player and character perspective that it's like, all right, this is fucking meta as shit. You know, it's because Adam gave me that option that it was like, boing, do you want to open the door? So Booker's like, well, not really my call. Nomi's in charge. So that's why he deflected that way to her. And then when we ended up in the room, once you started just freaking out on Booker, he's like, motherfucker, I've had a horrible day. Like, I don't need this. You're freaking out at me for nothing. Yeah. The chaplain's dead. Wait, the chaplain's dead? Like, you're just like throwing all sorts of stuff, you know, as a mirror towards Booker. And he's just like, I'm not having this shit. She's being insubordinate to you. Do you want me to do something about this so we can have a civil discussion? Or, you know, that's where he was coming from. You're muted, by the way.
You can't have a civil discussion once you barge into somebody's room. Like, there's this, like, I had to play it well, that way.
What's great is the flow.
I mean, you still can.
You can't. Not my character.
Right.
Like, yeah, if I didn't have feelings, like, know me maybe, but my character does.
Well, so this was the thing, right?
You can feel outraged without, like, being like, okay, well, now I'm going to just draw my sword, you know? So
it was like it wasn't just outrage. It was also like, at that point, she probably, like, I felt, like, threatened. Because I, like, to me, if right now someone were to walk into my room, like, while my door is locked, use their authority to unlock it and barge in, we're not going to have a civil conversation. Like, you need to get out. That's not okay. Especially when you're a noble. Because it's, like, that's not appropriate. Especially if you had zero reason to do so. It's one thing if you knocked and I didn't open, but that didn't happen. So I think, like, there was a little bit of dissonance in, like, our role play because you were under the impression that you knocked and I didn't answer, whereas I was role playing it like you just barged into my room, both of you, with zero reason, and just sort of like, why are you packing? What are you doing in here? Like, no, very what? Few people, as much as you want to say, that. Oh, you don't have to be quick, angry, yeah. But nobody,
real like, quick, I want to say,
people are going to be angry about that.
My take on that is, yes, you're correct in having, you know, being upset about that in character. As far as, you know, yeah, fuck, why are you in my room? You know, that kind of deal. However, the way I was looking at it as Booker is that Nomi's top dog. She's chain of command. Doesn't matter if you know, she's gotten pissed off or whatever. As soon as you start, you know, going to a certain level of you know, being outraged where you just start shouting at your commanding officer, then it becomes Booker's job to control the scenario and control the situation. You know what I mean?
Right.
He serves her, whether he likes it or not, regardless of his feelings towards Nomi or you.
And I'm not trying to say that you played that the wrong way. I'm 100% agreeing with you.
No, I'm just trying to give you, I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just trying to give insight as to why Booker did what he did, why he took it to the level of like, all right, I'm going to detain you because you're being a real jackass right now. And I don't even have context of what the fuck, why you're so heated, you know?
Which is the other thing. He wasn't aware of Chaplin dying and all that. My sword, instead of like putting my hands up and saying like, okay, if you're going to arrest me, what are you arresting me on, right? Because my family's crazy influential too. What did we say when we started? That my mom has like the ear of the Raja or the Rani or whatever. Like, so it's like, I know my life is valuable. You can't just kill me. But
totally.
From the Amira's point of view, Nomi's fucking crazy and you're willing to do whatever she says and the chaplain is gone. Who was the only other reasonable person on the crew. So at this point, she doesn't think that she's safe anymore. Because like, the only other person who may have intervened and been like, this is wrong, stop doing this, is no longer here. Because I think, I honestly think like if the Amira had come back to like the main area and the news that the chaplain was dead hadn't reached her, she probably wouldn't have been in a rush. She probably would have like contacted Trillia, but she probably wouldn't have been like, I need to leave right now. But as soon as she found out the chaplain was dead and Nomi pulled rank on her and she knows that like Booker is like a bootlicker, she was like, nah, I'm out. Like this is bad.
Interesting little side note. That one bit, where I actually did get a little visibly frustrated because I thought it would have been a cool moment when you guys were having at it about the thing, you know, with the killing the person or not. But I was going to RP it that Booker like heard that and chimed in with like his rationale was like, we don't need to upset these people further. The thing's been, you know, calmed down. If you want to detain this person, awesome. So that would have been, you know, a moment where you could see that Booker isn't just straight up like listening to Nomi. He's doing it because he has to. He still has a moral, you know, compass and things like that. And he doesn't just want to just destroy everyone. But it didn't happen. So that's why I was like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, no,
then I was just like, all right, I guess we're just going to RP that never happened. And I'll continue with Booker.
Yeah, the way all the cards fell was like it was like a perfect storm. Because if you had said that, then like the Amira would have agreed with you and been like, we can't ask these people to like follow us if they're terrified of us, you know?
Part of what my responsibility is like deciding where the spotlight falls and like what we focus on, right? Like I'm the director and I'm like, okay, it would be like, yes, this is possible, but right now this is the thing, and trying to like keep track of like how much time any given thing has and focus on what what is creating tension. And yeah, in that situation, I think it's really interesting that it escalated from tension outside to tension inside. I thought it was cool too. And this would be the kind of thing in the like legal drama version of this. When the Amira said, you just like burst into my room, it's like, it's a crux embassy, which means that technically it's like sovereign Hiren territory and it's not your room. And it's just like this whole idea of like crux and their ethos of like, well, we could do what we want. Right. And being able to kind of show that through the like, oh, you locked your door, not in this house. And I think it was a really cool way to flow from the like externalized violence to the, like, we're dealing with these angry peasants to like, now we're looking inward, and that same energy, sharpened is still focused internally too. So yeah, I'm really interested in seeing kind of where things go. So for the beginning of the next episode, obviously to resolve all this stuff, we will, if it comes down to combat, we'll roll initiative, and Max, like we did with Court of Swords, it'll be like, okay, everybody will get to do things on their turn. And it might be about making attack rolls or trying to flee or whatever. And I will try my absolute best to be like neutral purveyor of the rules. There might be times where I have to make a call. I imagine that you will be able to trust me to do that.
I have a question, point of information.
Yeah, sure.
Is the Trilliant person still in the building? And is he still my henchman?
He's around. Yeah.
I wonder if I could call for help. That means I have an army of two.
So the trick with that, willingness or otherwise, is like, I'll read Henchkeeper. There's a section of it that's important.
They don't fight for you. Yeah.
Yeah, they will not fight except to save their own lives. They're peaceful humans. And they're not like important. They're just like helpful. So you could like maybe put him in the way, but he won't actively like come rescue you. He'll just be like, oh, escape plan got canceled. Sucks. Mm-hmm. I gotta go. But yeah, we'll try to handle it. PvP is always tense. It's always like, because if y'all are arraigned against me and you're like, cool, Adam, we're gonna use the rules to beat you up, I have lots of room to be like, fine, I don't care. You kill my NPC, I'm not. I can make 10 more of them. But when it's players against each other, I can't step in. I can't give. There's no give there. There's no one to be like, okay, it's better if I let you have what you want. We move on. So we all have to be firm but gentle.
I don't think I I don't want to kill Booker, but I also don't think I can, because he's like,
I don't think you can either. Heart. He's tough as fuck.
Yeah, he's like super tough. And I'm like,
when you drew that sword, I was like, okay. from a perspective of like, all right, if you want to fight, we can fight.
I was hoping the threat of violence would be enough of like, maybe you're like, oh, we should give her time to cool off. Because that's what you always used to do with Riley. You'd always be like, oh, Riley, chill. You never like, and she was a peasant. I was like, maybe they'll be like,
there's not enough connection between Amira and Booker for that to be a thing. Not. So Booker's like, what the fuck? You're gonna pull a sword on me? Fuck you.
it's cool to me to see, and I think this is a really neat like theme, that the person in the group who I think has always most embodied the sort of visceral nature of the setting is Nomi. And it's cool to see the storm of shit just fly around her. And she's just like, yes, good. Finish the job. Let's move on. Like, I love that she's the eye of the storm, and all this chaos always happens around her, but she's moving through it. I think that's been super cool. So thanks for the episode, everybody. That was really good. Mark is going to come back and have a hell of a surprise for
him. He's going to be like,
what's going on? Yeah. Bronze, we got 2 weeks. Let me know what you're thinking for your character, and we'll talk about kind of how to think that, and I'll kind of plan out how to time everything, and then we'll
Booker and fly away with my beautiful new Trillium boyfriend into the sunset.
Sure. Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah. cool. All right. Well, that's our episode, and that's our post show. Thanks everybody for your support. I think this is the first episode that was like as dramatic as the faction turn has been of late. So thanks, players. It was good stuff. We will be back after TwitchCon, back in 2 weeks. But if you want, you can watch the roleplay panel at TwitchCon. I know JP's got a drop frames panel as well. We're all doing stuff while we're there. So keep an eye out for that. And then we'll be back with more Favrona next time. So thanks for coming, everybody. See you later.